Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. I'm Chris Wilmerding, your host. The show is a series of conversations with business owners about their beliefs and values and which beliefs and values they want to share with the next generation. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply wait until the end of this 20-minute segment and we'll provide a link. Simply sign in at that point and we'll be in touch with more information. Now, let's get on with the show. Hi, I'm Chris Wilmerding, host of Legacy Podcast, and today's guest is Seth Wiener, who's the CEO and founder of Amigo Data. Welcome, Seth.
Thanks, Chris.
So, Amigo Data, is that a data company, or you want to tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. What we are is we're an energy efficiency company for data centers. And what we do is we are 100% software-based. We are agnostic to any of the hardware they run within data centers, and we help them reduce the amount of energy they use by no less than 50%.
So is that a crowded field, or is it just a few of you in there? Is that an emerging field?
You would think it would be crowded at this point because there's so much money spent on data centers, but we're the only one. There are other solutions that are out there that claim to, you know, promote energy efficiency, but no one's going about it in the way that we are, and no one's actually built a company around energy efficiency yet.
So you're a former Wall Street banker, right? And How does somebody like you get into the energy management business for data centers?
That's a great question. So I started by realizing that I got tired of making stupid people in Silicon Valley millionaires. And I said, I could do that better than they could. So I started on my first startup back in 2009, and within 6 months we exited, and it was just a pure dumb luck approach. I've got to be very candid about this one. There was nothing to it except dumb luck. We bought something out from underneath IBM and they came and bought it back when they found out who got it. So I failed miserably at my next one because, you know, after you've had one success, you think you're going to be primed and ready to go. You know,
perfect. Everyone after that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And we failed miserably. And I realized how little I knew. And then I had, you know, another subsequent success. And the rest is history. I got into my fourth one about 2.5 years ago. And the reason for that was, it's a good story, and I'll save that one for a little bit later. But I didn't plan on actually starting Amigo Data. It just sort of organically happened. So
it must be nice because from what I gather, it's been a huge success even in the 2+ years that you're already
so far. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's why I'm so excited to have you share your story with my audience. So speaking of stories, when we meet people like yourself with a varied background, one of my favorite questions is what was that experience? What was that, that point in time that put you onto this path of being a successful entrepreneur? Most people have that experience. Maybe you don't, but I'm just kind of curious.
Oh, I absolutely do. And I think what happens is when you're searching for something that's more than what you're currently doing, you're always trying to test boundaries. Mm-hmm. And when you're testing boundaries, whether it's in your professional life or personal life in a sport, you're always trying to get better at whatever it is you're doing. And as an entrepreneur, I remember I failed at my second startup attempt. And I was really at that point saying, well, do I go back into, you know, investment banking, or do I go into private equity, something along the same lines as to what I had been doing 15 years prior to doing my first two startups. And I said, you know what, let's let it ride. If I don't actually try to test myself again, I'm not going to actually know what I'm made of. And at that point, I think if you want to be successful, you've got to actually dig down deep when the times are the toughest and see what you're made of.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
It's, so Seth, it's a topic I love. It's a recurring theme on this, show that has to do with faith. And I don't mean necessarily organized religion. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is for people, but it sounds like that connects to some deeper faith for you in yourself or something.
Absolutely. You got to have some kind of belief in who you are as a person. And to tell yourself that no matter what, you're going to be able to accomplish it. I always love when people tell you you can't do something and to prove them wrong. Oh, you're not going to be able to do that. You don't have the background. What, you know, what makes you qualified? Oh, you want to see? I'll show you.
Right.
You have a great idea and you know it's a good idea and you've tested the idea as a hypothesis almost by running it by some of your friends or family members or colleagues and whatnot. And you know that you got something. You got to learn as much about that particular subject matter as you can and then let it ride. And that's where I think the best entrepreneurs are, you know, at that point in time are really going to be, you know, they're almost like cast out of something at that point. You know, you're breaking free of like whatever boundary you have and you're able to really let go and show the world what you're made of.
Free yourself of that mindset. So, absolutely. All right. So was it a specific place that when I ask you that question, does that bring up an image of a
It invokes specific memories.
Yeah.
So I had literally just lost everything on my second startup and it was a great idea. It's not to take anything away from it. And what we wanted to do was make medical records portable, you know, making them private and confidential in accordance with HIPAA and using a new encryption technology. So it was the hottest and latest and greatest kind of thing. And after spending all of my money, I mean, literally when I was at the ATM, pulling out my last $20 to go get food kind of thing, I said, what am I going to do? You know, I got to go do something. You know, at this point in time, I had bills, I had a life, and you get accustomed to living a certain way once you've been making money throughout your career. And if you either want to fold and give in, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you really want to test yourself, and it was while I was standing at that ATM and I'd been mulling around some ideas for a while, I said, you know what? Forget it. Let's go do it. And I did.
Yeah. So when you were pinned to the wall, so to speak,
back against the wall in the corner, so to speak.
Yeah. Right. So, when we think about Amigo Data, that my audience would probably appreciate knowing what the one thing your business does better than 95% of your competition. Well, you don't have any competition, you just said, but
better than any technology company, what we're able to do is help data centers reduce the amount of energy they're using. What most people don't realize is there's 8 million data centers in the world. And that number, while they say it's shrinking, it's because they're getting into larger facilities and making them into what's called hyperscale data centers. So if you have a 100,000 square foot building, they're now making that into a 1 million square foot building. So they might be reducing it, but they're reducing it to 10 times the size of the average data center. Right. The amount of energy that they've been using since 2012 has produced more greenhouse gas than the entirety of the global airline industry. So if you think about that for a while, that's just these major jets that are flying back and forth pre-COVID, obviously. Yeah. And that's a lot of, you know, wasted energy that you're using just to store data. So there had to be a better way. And prior to Amigo, I actually was another data center solution where I put flash storage into the cloud as a commodity and allowed people to actually work on flash to build applications and try new techniques and new modeling kinds of solutions out. And the reason for that was it was to get them hooked on using that device to then feed them upstream to the parent company that helped me start the company.
I got it. So going back to Amigo for a second, who came up with that specific idea, the technical solution? Should I give you credit for that?
Actually, no, it was me. Uh-huh. And what happened to me was sort of an epiphany while I was at my prior company called Float Cloud. What happened was I was spending about $30,000 a month on energy costs just to maintain at that point in time, which was a lot of storage. I think it was 20. Yeah, we had 20 arrays, so it was right around 1.8 petabytes of flash,
wow,
which today is nothing. You know, you got people that have that as just a research gallery kind of thing. And this is back in 2012, 2013, 14. So what happened was I'm spending $30,000 a month, and I was thinking there's got to be a better way to this. And then I thought to how we structure our data, because we were offloading most of our clients' data, what's called waterfall, which meant the highest priority data that people were accessing was at the top of the stack, which meant most accessible. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it, we were pushing off into Amazon. Why? Because Amazon was cheap. We could store it there. And then when we had somebody try to access whatever point they were in, that might've been data that was sitting on Amazon, we would have an algorithm at that point that was able to recall the data and next to real time. So that was the approach that sort of gave me the idea of how to do this for a data center on a large scale basis. That was my opinion.
So here you are running a really fast growing, successful, I don't know if you'd call it hyper growth. We haven't gotten there, but we don't necessarily need to go there. Just fast growing. Let's just say that. And successful tech company.
Yep.
What are the biggest top two or three challenges for you? Because you're not perfect. Sorry, Seth, but no one is.
We're far from it. You know, if hindsight's 20/20, I would be perfect, but quite frankly, it never is. The biggest challenges right now are raising enough capital to do some of the acquisitions that we're looking to do. And it's not market-based, decisions that are running into, that we're running into the wall of. It's how the capital markets have changed year in and year out. What was good this year in terms of how you should be approaching a capital source might not necessarily work that same way 12 months from now. So the game changes so often. And when you're talking about bigger dollars, which are easier to raise than smaller dollars, people have never understood that it's easier to get 20 million than it is to get 200,000. Because the kind of investor you're talking to has that money to burn at 20 million, whereas the $200,000 investor doesn't. But the rules of engagement have changed. Whereas when I started my career, if you had a great idea on a cocktail napkin, this is back in the heat of the dot-com days, you were getting $2 million bucks to ride out of the gate for nothing. And then you had your Maserati or BMW and everything else to go along with it. The game then morphed after the dot-com failure to where you then had to have an idea that was actually a proven product. Didn't have to be fully tested. It didn't have to be perfected at this point, but you had to have something that was a proof of concept that you could show worked. Fast forward a couple more years, you get to a point where you had to have an agile team because of the mortgage meltdown, which meant that you were building a proof of product on half the people that you were before and out of a budget of your own money. So now you've spent all of your own money. You've built a product. It's what I call the four T's: team, technology, timing, and traction. That's what it takes to build a company. And what you always lack at the investment stage is the traction, because traction is money. So being able to attract that money meant at that point in time, around 2010 to we'll call it 2015, you had to have a product that worked, that was proven, and through the alpha or beta, or what they now refer to as MVP. I've never understood these changing terms or for technology, but they're the same. Minimum viable product and an alpha test, are the same damn thing at the end of the day. It's frustrating at some point, or I'm dating myself at this point. I haven't figured that one out. I think it's a little of each. So you get to that point where you've gotten that MVP ready and they can see how it's going to work. And then they can see the dollar signs coming in behind it.
Right.
That was when 2015 sort of morphed into what we're in now, which is you better have that first iteration of your product in the market generating revenue before you should even try to attract any money at this point.
Got it. So it's attracting money of a certain size, not...
Everything's relative. Starting out, or it depends on what your marketplace is. Hardware is going to take more than software.
And what else?
Some of the other challenges, it's definitely not talent, because there's so much great organic talent around us. And this is even prior to COVID. There's great talent always comes where the best solutions are. And that's something I learned early on in my career. But I would say the next challenge that we have is getting credibility with customers. Now, you might know some of these high-level executives at Fortune 50, Fortune 100 companies, and you might have worked with them in the past. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be willing to give you a shot with your new solution. Even if it's going to save them money, improve their top and their bottom line without changing anything, it doesn't mean anything to them, because it's the risk factor that they have. And that risk factor is a personal risk factor, which is they all fear losing their job by making one or two bad decisions.
Got it. So all of this talk about money leads me to my next favorite question. Why is money important to you, Seth?
Well, that's a great question. Money is important for a lot of reasons. It's the most emotional thing that we all have, meaning when you don't have it, you always need more of it and you're wondering how you're going to get it. When you have it, it's doing the right things with it. And if you want to make an impact in life or make an impact, period, then you better have enough money to do that, to set the ball in motion in the right, for the right trajectory, so to speak. So if you're interested in improving the environment, you better start putting money towards that kind of specific cause that's going to help you sort of achieve your goal. And I think you got to pick one thing. If you don't have enough of it, you're not going to be able to leave that kind of legacy or impact. And what impact we make in life is really going to be predicated by the legacy that you have left there and after, by people remembering what it is you've done. And it takes a little bit of money to get to where you can be impactful to some degree, in some aspect, whether it's working with kids or whether it's working with senior, it doesn't matter what it is. You need something to get started.
Got it. So in many ways, money is a means to an end when we talk about legacy.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because it enables you to build that impact that you're trying to make, or that, helps you to make a difference. But at the end of the day, it's really, what's the idea behind, what you're working on? If you don't have a good idea, you could put your things into the worst ideas in the world to do harm. And quite frankly, that's leaving a legacy and that's making an impact, but in the wrong kind of ways. So it's really what type of impact you're going to make and what type of legacy is then there left after.
Got it. So, Seth, this leads us to the question of the interview, which is, when you think of the legacy you want to leave, what comes to mind specifically?
Inspiring others. So I started Amigo Data almost as like a joke. The name came to me as a joke because I was getting pitched an idea. In between my last company and Amigo, I was toying with the idea of starting a early stage venture fund, but it would almost be more of a business accelerator kind of venture fund where we'd roll up our sleeves and sit down with them and sort of show them what mistakes not to make, so to speak. The biggest problem that a new entrepreneur has is, what do they do with their current resources and how do they allocate them appropriately? And then how do they get from point A to point B to point C and keep the blinders on when they need to keep the blinders on, and then show the world everything when they need to? So I really enjoy that part of the startup ecosystem. And I was getting pitched an idea that was possibly the worst idea for storage I'd ever heard. And when I drive home every night, I cross a road called Amigo Road. And when I cross over Amigo Road, that's the dead zone until I hit my driveway. We live right above the mountains, on the coastline in California. So when I cross over Amigo Road, or I was coming up on Amigo Road, excuse me, and this guy was going on and on about this great edge data center solution. And it was not necessarily the worst idea, but the name and everything about it, I just couldn't handle this pitch anymore. I said, you know what? Let's start with the name. The name that you have is horrible. You're going to violate naming conventions up and down the chain. And the naming convention means that someone else is using that name, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why don't you just call it something that's easy to remember, like Amigo Data? And why I said that, because I looked at an Amigo Road sign and said Amigo Data. Yeah. And then on the remainder of my ride home, because my call dropped, of course, I said, that's a great name. It's easy to remember. It's not threatening to anyone throughout the world, and you'll never forget it. So I went and bought the domain.
Oh, that's awesome. So kind of like Apple, right? Something random.
Random.
Yeah. So I guess, our audience is what, about 140,000 successful business owners like yourself. One of the things they want to know is, what specific actions or steps can you share with our audience to help them build their own lasting and meaningful legacy? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. First of all, it's never, always having a belief in yourself, even when you fail. You learn more from your failure than you're going to learn from your success. And I failed a lot, even with Amigo Data. I've done a lot of things wrong. And had I done them differently, maybe we'd be at a different position at this point in time. Maybe we would be better off. Maybe we'd be acquired. You never know. But you got to consistently believe in yourself that when you make a mistake, you're going to learn from it, but never to make that same mistake again, because the old Einstein quote, right. Repeating the same thing over and over again makes you insane, kind of thing.
Yeah.
When you learn from it, is to pivot immediately into the next direction that's going to help you get to that right course and get you set straight and on track to have success. I don't think enough entrepreneurs realize that when they fail once, that's not the end of the world. It's not going to be a nuclear war and everything's wiped out. It means that you failed. So what? Dust yourself off, get back in the saddle and start riding that horse again, so to speak.
Right.
And you got to keep with the idea, but you also have to have a point in time that if everything doesn't work out, even if it is the best idea, that means that your timing was off. It's very rare that you get an idea that it has the right timing, the right technology, and the right team to get it there. And the one thing, this goes back to the four T's that you're always missing, is traction. Doesn't matter who you are and how much money you have. Traction is, at some point, you've got to bring in outside capital. Whether that's through sales or whether that's through an investor, you've got to bring that in because it's a validation point. And unless you get that validation point, after a couple of years, maybe it is time to go on to something else. Because if you're just digging into debt, then that pivot means, okay, let's pivot into another idea. Maybe it's a new company. And you can always shelf it and come back to it.
So great, it seems, ideas
don't waste themselves.
Yeah, it sounds like you're arguing for grit. I mean, I know that's an overused term, but grit and just overall tenacity.
More self-awareness, I think, than grit or tenacity. You have to be self-aware of what's going on and yourself. You don't want to put your family situation in jeopardy to where your wife or your children are going to suffer. And you don't want to put your own personal self in jeopardy to where you're going to end up on the streets. Right. But you've got to be self-aware of what's going on around you. And, you know, this, it's a sign of the times.
So self-awareness leads to, you would say that as an important first step toward building your own legacy.
Absolutely. It gives you some of the insight you need to get set on the path to building a legacy that can whatever it is that you want to make an impact in.
Got it. Well, great. So we're coming to the end of the show. Seth Wiener, thank you so much for being a guest on Legacy Podcast. If you want to be a guest on my show, please go to www.businesslegacypodcast.com and book your interview there. Again, businesslegacypodcast.com. Seth Wiener, CEO and founder of Amigo Data. Thank you for being on my show, Seth.
Hey, thank you, Chris. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to the Business Legacy Show. If you're a thoughtful business owner who would like to be a guest on this program, please visit businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. That's businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. Now, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you do that, tag us with #BusinessLegacyPodcast. Again, #BusinessLegacyPodcast. Each month, we scour Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. We pick one winner from each platform, and you get crowned king or queen of that social media. What do you win? We're going to promote you and your business to our audience of over 150,000 people totally free. Now, can you hook us up in your podcast player right now? Please give us a thumbs up or a rating and a review. We promise to read it all and take action. We believe that a person's legacy is the most important thing someone can leave the next generation, and your feedback helps us fulfill our mission. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button. You know why? Because every week for 15 minutes, you are going to be inspired and motivated to leave a lasting and meaningful legacy. My name is Chris Womerding. Let's connect on the socials. You'll find all the stuff we're doing at businesslegacypodcast.com. Again, businesslegacypodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being part of the Business Legacy Movement.